How's everybody on this humid, humid Sunday morning? I hope you're not humid. It's good to be here. I hope everybody is feeling well. We are getting ready to start a lot of new things with the church, a lot of exciting things going on. And I hope that you'll plan on just participating in as much as you possibly can, because everything we're going to do is going to be with the intent to help us get to heaven and help us to help as many others to go with us as we possibly can. This morning, our lesson is whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Tonight, the lesson is going to be called by God. So this morning, we're calling upon God, and tonight, God is calling on us. So we'll see what happens with that. Romans 10, 1 through 17 is a passage that is used a lot by people that, well, for lack of a better phrase, want to teach what they want to teach. Now, the fact is, every honest, rational person wants to live, and everyone who knows about it wants to go to heaven. And the central theme in the Bible is God's effort to save man. The doctrine of salvation is the simplest, easiest to understand doctrine in all of Scripture. There is nothing, no doctrine more simple, more easy to comprehend, more easy to understand than the doctrine of what one must do to be saved. There are a lot of phrases that are found in Scripture that refer to what one must do in order to be saved. To Nicodemus, Jesus said in John 3:16, "Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." To Cornelius, Peter says in Acts 10:43, "Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." To the jailer at Philippi, Paul and Silas say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." Acts 16, verse 31. And a verse of Scripture that is used many, many times by many people is the one we referred to today in Romans 10, 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what does this mean, to call upon the name of the Lord? Does it mean that if one believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and calls out to him, that that person has been saved? Is that what that's saying? Is that what that means? Many believe this to be the case. They believe that simply saying that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and then praying the prayer that is called the sinner's prayer, that God will save you, you have received Jesus into your heart, and that you have been saved, your sins have been taken away. Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So what does all this mean, to call upon the Lord? Well, there's something we need to say at the beginning. Without God, without the Lord, I am lost. I am doomed. I am condemned. I cannot go to heaven. I cannot please God. I cannot be in the presence of God. Without Jesus Christ, I have no hope. That is an absolute truth. And none would even try to deny that fact. You know, we owe the Lord Jesus so much. I mean, He laid everything on the line for us. He gave His life to save us. So we should be willing to do anything that He asks of us, right? We should be willing, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter what it might cost us, we should be willing. But what the Lord requires of us is neither difficult nor expensive. Are you listening? What the Lord requires of us is neither difficult nor expensive. Well, actually, it is difficult to give up the old life. And it does cost us everything to follow Jesus. But when we talk about what Jesus requires of man to be saved, It is simple and it is easy. It is simple to understand and it is easy to do. He says, whosoever will. Whoever. That means no one is left out. Salvation is offered to everyone. To everyone. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Eternal life is promised to all who believe, as has already been mentioned. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody tries to emphasize, no, that says should not perish. They might perish, but they should not. Folks, that is not the emphasis of this passage. And we are not being honest in the way we handle this passage if we try to make the word should the emphasis. The emphasis here is, if you believe in Jesus, you are going to heaven. That's the emphasis of this verse. It is the gospel in a nutshell. It is the heart and soul of the gospel. It is the basis of the gospel. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, you can't please God. John 3:16 is absolutely right. It needs no explanation. It needs no defense. It is the heart of the gospel. If you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. That is truth, and it does not need defending, and it doesn't even really need explaining. But we do need to understand just what does it mean to believe in Jesus. We need to understand that. We were talking about that in Sunday school class this morning. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? If I believe in Jesus, does that mean that I don't have to do what he says? If I believe in Jesus, does that mean that I can live any way I want to live? How does that make me different than a demon? Now, don't take that personal. I ain't talking about me. How does that make anyone different than a demon? If all you do is believe in Jesus, but you don't do what he says, you don't obey his commands, you don't have to. You believe he's the Son of God, therefore you're going to heaven? Is that really what God is saying here? Is that really what it means to call upon the name of the Lord if you just believe in Jesus, that you're right? Folks, John 3:16 makes it very clear that if you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. There's no reason for you to be lost. Because if you believe in Jesus, you're going to do what he says. And if you don't do what he says, you're no different than a demon. Are you listening? Somebody might call you an old devil. Well, you know, there's some old men out there that get kind of crotchety, you know, grouchy. Curmudgeons, okay? If you don't know that word, look it up. It's a good one. They don't like people. They are just grouchy all the time, and everything is wrong. And boy, if I was in charge, I'd sure change some things. And rawr, 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 growl like an old bear. Yeah. That's not the kind of life that we need to live as Christians. That's not the kind of character we're talking about. If we believe in Jesus, we're going to do what he says. We're going to change. We're going to become something different than we are. We're not going to be satisfied with where we are. No, to believe in Jesus means you will do what he says. To call then upon the name of the Lord, that's not an option. That's not something you can do or not do. You know, as long as I hear the word, believe in Jesus, repent of my sins, confess my faith in Christ, and I'm baptized. That's all. I don't have to call on the name of the Lord. Folks, there's too many times the phrase call upon the name of the Lord is used in Scripture. That is part of the salvation process. It is something we must do. We must call upon the name of the Lord. Too many people have it in their mind, if I follow five steps, I'm right with God, and I don't have to do anything else. Too many people have it in their mind that if I can follow this traditional formula, this ritual, that I'm saved. If your life has not changed, if your heart has not changed, if you have not poured your heart out and laid your life down at the foot of the cross, if you have not surrendered your life to the Lord, you have not called upon the name of the Lord, and you are not saved even if you did those five things. Are you listening? You're not saved even if you followed the five steps. You're not saved because you have not really surrendered to God. You may have turned from your past sins, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have committed your life to serving the Lord, and that's part of repentance. See? You've not finished the process of repentance unless you have surrendered your life to the Lord. Christianity is not ritual keeping. It is not the law of Moses in the New Testament age. Christianity is not keeping the Ten Commandments. Christianity is not being a law keeper and a ritual follower. Christianity is a lifestyle. It is a change of life from what seems to be the normal reaction to things to choosing to follow the pattern of life that God has determined that we should live. That's what Christianity is. It is more than simply a ritual. It is more than simply law keeping. No, calling upon the name of the Lord is not an option if one wants to be saved. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. But is it simply acknowledging Jesus as Lord? Is that? Is it saying the phrase, Lord, Lord? Is it crying out to God to save me? Is that what it is? Look at Acts chapter 2. Turn over there. Acts chapter 2. We're going to look, there's several verses in this, and we're not going to read them together, but as you follow along, you're going to see what's happening here. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands before the people in response to their accusation, why these men are drunk. And so Peter stands up before them, and he quotes from the prophet Joel, Joel chapter 2 to be precise, regarding God pouring out His Spirit on all flesh in the last days, both Jew and Gentile. God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And then in Acts 2:21, Peter quotes Joel, and he says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." See, there it is again. Now, the call here in Acts 2:21, as well as the call in Romans 10:13, and as we shall see in Acts chapter 22:16, is not the same as the call that Jesus refers to in Matthew 7:21, which says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." See, that's a different thing. That's just calling out the name, Lord, Lord. And that, unfortunately, that's what some people seem to think. Just call out. Just beg for His forgiveness. Just call out to Him and He will save you. The fact is that when a person submits to do the will of God, he accurately can be described as calling on the name of the Lord. There's no contradiction with any of these passages, because to call on the Lord is more than begging to be saved. Notice that after Peter quotes Joel, telling the people that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, he then tells them how to call upon the Lord. Notice that in the text. In verse 21, he tells them, call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Fine. But the crowd on the day of Pentecost did not understand that phrase to mean that they were to pray to God for salvation. And when Peter said this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the people did not think that he's telling them to pray. Oh Lord, save me! That's not what they understood Peter to say. They did not think that Peter is telling them to pray. How do I know that? Well, when Peter continues to speak to them, by the way, the term prayer is not found in the text nor implied in the text until after the people obeyed God's call for salvation in verse 42. All the way down to verse 42 before you even find prayer mentioned or implied. And this is to people that were already saved. See? These people had already obeyed the gospel. The 3,000 or so had already obeyed the gospel, and they continued in prayer. But there was no mention of prayer by either statement or implication before verse 42. So these people did not think that Peter is telling them to pray. They did not think that. When they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" This shows that they needed more information than simply calling on the name of the Lord. We need to know what that means. We need to know how to do that. Peter didn't say to them, "I already told you what to do," because he hadn't told them. He had to explain what he meant by calling the name of the Lord. And in verse 38, in Acts 2:38, he says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, when you compare that to what Joel said, in Acts 2:21, Joel says, "Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved." Then Peter tells them what they must do to be saved: repent and be baptized. These who believe in Jesus now, repent and be baptized. Well, what's this saying? To call on the name of the Lord if you are a lost sinner, if you're someone who's not in Christ, to call on the name of the Lord means to obey the gospel. That's all it means, to obey the gospel. I submit myself to do what God commands me to do. In Acts 22, Saul of Tarsus is telling the story of his encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. The story happened in chapter 9 of Acts. Saul is on trial. He's now called the Apostle Paul. He's on trial in Acts 22, and he's retelling the story of that encounter. And he was led into Damascus blind. And after 3 days of calling out to God in prayer, Acts 9 says that he was praying and fasting for 3 days. So after 3 days of calling out to God in prayer, the preacher Ananias came and told him what he had to do. And all of that praying did not take away his sins, because in verse 16, Saul still had the guilt of his sins and was still lost, because he was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Obey the Lord. Obey his commands. Call out to him in obedience. That's what it is. Calling out to God, calling upon the name of the Lord, is implying following or submitting to the authority of God. That's what it's talking about. In effect, calling on the name of the Lord within the context of salvation implies obeying the Lord's commands. Anyone who has not yet become a Christian but desires to call on the name of the Lord to be saved does so not by saying, "Lord, Lord," as Matthew 7:21, or by offering a prayer to God, Acts 9:22, or Romans 10:13 and 14. Rather, he calls on the name of the Lord by obeying God's commands to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's what he has to do to call on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord means submitting to the will of God by obeying his commandments, by following his instructions, by doing whatever he says. Now, for Christians continue, they call on the name of the Lord by following God's instructions, by worshiping the way we're told, by doing whatever God says. We can continue to call on the name of the Lord all of our lives by submitting to him, by doing his will. Calling on the name of the Lord is something that all people should do. We cry out to God, yes, but unless you are submitting your life to God, you can't expect God to get involved in your life. You can't expect God to do what you want him to do. You can't expect God to answer your prayers the way you want. You can't expect God to do anything for you that God would not already do. If you're not submitting your life to God, what's the point of calling on the name of the Lord? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See? For Christians, it all starts For non-believers, it all starts by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died to save us from God's wrath. He died to save us because of our sins. But Paul said in Romans 10, they can't call until they believe. Calling on the name of the Lord is not simply saying, Lord, Lord. They can't call till they believe, and they can't believe unless they hear. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But see, how are they going to hear if no one speaks to them? They got to have a preacher. And it's not so much that he's got to be a pulpit preacher. Anybody can be a preacher. See, we can have lady preachers, Joyce. Did you know that? You can't get up here and do it. But you can preach to people. You can share the gospel with people. That's what we do. All of us are to be preachers of the word, proclaiming God's message to lost people, sharing with them what God said they must do to be right with Him. That's our job. It's not just my job. It's not just the elder's job. That is all of our jobs. And so, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? Oh, yeah. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And so when we hear the word of God, we will believe. And when we believe, we will call upon the name of the Lord. We will do what he says. We will be saved. We will serve him. Just like the jailer at Philippi. When he asked what he had to do to be saved, Paul and Silas said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And in verse 32, it says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. See, it's more than simply saying, Lord, Lord. You got to know what God wants you to do. And they did that. They shared the message with him. That's our job. That's our job, to share the message with lost people. That's where we come into the equation. Our part is to share the gospel with those that are seeking God, and we help them call upon the name of the Lord by showing them what God requires of them. And then, of course, we continue to call upon the name of the Lord by faithfully living submissive, obedient lives of humble service to our God. We continue. And so I'm asking every person today, every person here today, please, please call upon the name of the Lord. Every single person. If you're not a Christian, call upon the name of the Lord seeking salvation. And you call upon the name of the Lord by believing Jesus is the Son of God, by obeying the gospel, by turning away from sin in repentance, to commit your life to the service of God. By confessing that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. By being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. So that the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. Just like God commanded. Call upon the name of the Lord. It's by the authority of Jesus Christ that you are told to do these things. And it's by the authority of Jesus Christ that your sins will be washed away when you obey the gospel. And then, having done that, call upon the name of the Lord as you live a faithful life of service as God's child. As you live your life in obedience to Him, you need time in prayer, you need time in study, you need to reach out to God in humble submission to His will, in determination to obey His commandments, to be the man or woman that God wants you to be. Call upon the name of the Lord by the life of submissive obedience that you live. Show people around you that you are a child of God. But more important than that, show God that you are His child by living that life of obedience to His commands. As you examine your life this morning, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord as God directed in Scripture, then you're not ready to meet Him. And you need to make some changes. You need to obey the gospel. And if there's a way we can help you to do that today, we want to do that. If there are questions you have, we want to try to answer them. I'm available. The elders are available. The deacons are available. Everybody, anybody. You ask anybody here, what do I need to do? And if they don't know the answer, they can direct you to where you can get it. But we don't want you to leave here not ready to meet God. And if you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, you've not committed yourself really to serving Him, you need to rededicate your life and your heart to the Lord. Call upon His name. Let Him help you. Let Him save you. But you've got to submit to Him and obey Him, or God's not going to do anything for you. So if there's a way we can help you today, without delay, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.